I'm here to give you the word. Amen. If you could stand with me, I have a very, very short opening scripture from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Think about that. And the topic of my message is heart trouble. Turn to your neighbor and say, "No heart trouble. No heart trouble." None of us want heart trouble. Proverbs 4:23 says, though, you have to guard your heart. That's what it means. Means guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. We're going to pray, ask God's blessing on his word, ask that the ground that you have will be open to receive a word. So if you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you this afternoon for your presence. Lord, I thank you for accepting our worship. Lord, I thank you for hearing every song. Hallelujah. Every utterance today in this church, in this sanctuary. Lord, we ask you right now to just fill this house with faith. Fill this place with your spirit. Let there be anointing. Break every yoke. Hallelujah. Prepare the ground to be good soil. We thank you and give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm glad you're here." Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glad you're here. Most of all, we welcome the presence of God, because without that, all we'll be doing is having a club. And that's okay, but we want not just a club. We want the anointing and the presence of God to move in this place today. Amen. Now, the scripture in Proverbs said to guard, keep your heart. And in the physical, God has designed the body to do just that. Your heart is way up there underneath some bones called the rib cage, and it's there to guard your heart, to protect your heart. All the important things, all the very important organs always have something around it, like your brain, and your heart is right up there. It's guarded by your ribs. And in the spiritual, God is telling us today we need to guard our heart, because all of the issues that we're dealing with stem from inside here. You know, the only person you have control of is, guess who? You. You don't have control of your boss. You don't have control of your friend. You don't have control of your children. You don't even have control of your spouse. The only person you have control of, to some extent, is you. You have to make a choice. You have to decide in your heart. As David said, "I will rejoice. I will give thanks. I will worship. I will be joyful." As I've preached before about joy, joy is not about present blessing. You know, on Fridays at 3 p.m., you start getting joyful. Has anything changed? No, you're still at work. But your attitude begins to change because you see that clock. See, joy can be had even when your circumstance doesn't change, because it is a matter of your heart. It's a matter of your thinking. It's a matter of what you believe. It's a matter of your expectation. And today God is telling us you need to look at your heart and guard it. You know, so far, since this COVID thing started, there's been 500,000, they say, people killed. But every year, do you know that more than 600,000 people die of heart disease? Every year, that's what happens. When I was in my 20s, I found out I had a heart issue. I had some heart trouble. And I remember going to the heart specialist, and I was thinking, well, this isn't nothing. I was just, you know, talking up. Well, this is going to be okay. But he was one of these guys that just told you like it was. He didn't mince any words. So I said, "Well, how bad was it?" "Well, you could die." He didn't have a very restrained bedside manner. He just told it to me straight. "Well, you could die from this, what you have. But you guess what? You know what? I have no heart trouble." That was 40 years ago, and I'm still here. Because with God, if you guard your heart, you will not have heart troubles. You only have heart troubles if you let the door open, if you let things into your heart that's going to bother you, that's going to upset you. See, heart trouble is something that you can actually deal with in the natural. There's so many causes. Most of them have to do with this. You know what? They say how you eat, too much salt, too much sugar. And I know my wife is looking at me right now. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart. It's in the Bible more than 830 times. It speaks about the heart because it is where it is portrayed as the seat of our emotions. It's where we make a lot of our stupid decisions. We just do it from our heart. When someone says they're speaking from their heart, you believe they're speaking from their true self because that's what they really think, that's what they really believe. The first time heart is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, but it's not in a great context. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the first time the word heart is mentioned in the Bible, and it's concerns with the thoughts of the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Have you been thinking some good thoughts today? Have you been thinking some blessings? Or have you been thinking, I'm going to get them back? How dare they talk about me like that? You see, you're letting some issues into your heart. You're letting someone else decide how you feel. But David said, listen, I am going to rejoice. It's a choice. You can stay there, as my former pastor used to say, like a bump on a log. You can stay there like a bump, or you can decide, I will thank God. I will bless the Lord. I will lift up my soul. You know, the heart is so important. It's when we decide, when there's death, is the heart beating? That's when they say you're dead if it stops, right? It's the most important organ for telling if someone is alive. Did his heart stop? Are they still breathing? That's the thing that decides whether you're alive or not. If that heart stops, it stops pumping that breath of life into all of your organs, into all of your body. That's the thing that makes and animates and makes sure that you can draw breath. In the Old Testament, as I said, the Bible speaks about the heart as the center of our decision making, and how it is also very easy to be deceived. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it says the heart is what? Deceitful above all things. And what? Now, we don't like to think that. We're good, right? Everybody else is bad. It's always the other person's fault. It couldn't be me. I am pure as the driven snow. I move, I don't step on ants, right? But the heart is deceitful. It's hard for you to actually see yourself. You know, that's why we have mirrors. Brother Chris preached about the word is a mirror. That word is a lamp. You need light and you need a mirror to see yourself. And the word of God is that mirror, and it is also the lamp that allows us to see how our heart is. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, when I was a teenager, I thought I knew a lot. I thought I was in control. I thought, oh, these old people, they don't know what they're talking about. I can remember them saying, be careful of getting into such and such a situation because thus such and such can happen. And I'd listen and go in one ear and out the other. These are old people. What do they know? And now I am an old person. Now I am an old person. I thought I knew my heart. But you know what? It deceived me. We can have some spiritual heart problems that are even more serious than the physical heart problems. That's what Jeremiah was saying under the Holy Spirit, that you can think you know your heart. I would never do that. I've learned not to say that. Because I said it and then found myself doing exactly. Look at them. I'd never do that. I'd never react that way. Some years ago, I found out I had a temper. I thought that was gone. I thought that was a long time ago. And someone came in here with some nonsense. And they were bigger than me, but I got a temper and I didn't realize it. So I said, you either sit down or you go. And they weren't sitting down, so I helped them out. That was foolish of me. That was rather foolish of me. You know, I listened to my heart instead of what the word should say. But God had mercy upon me, and they didn't give me any trouble. They did go. In the real world, there's so many things that can cause heart disease. Sometimes it's nothing you did. It's genetic. The thing that I have is genetic. So there wasn't anything that I did to cause that particular part of the problem. But you know, God is so merciful. Whether it's genetic, whether it's something you did, He can heal you. That heart specialist, when he looked at me, he said, yes, you could die at any time. I didn't know what to say. You know, the night before, my heart had gone into fibrillation, and it was so bad that you could see it. You could see it go boop, boop. I really scared my wife. I was only 25, and it was beating like it was about to quit. There was no rhythm to it. It was what they call an arrhythmia. It would just go boop, boop, boop. B-b-b-b-b-b- sounded like a motorbike about to die. And it was moving so violently, you could see it. You could see my chest moving. And I was so weak, I couldn't breathe. And that was 45 years ago. Don't tell me that we don't have a doctor who can take care of your heart trouble. The main purpose of the heart is to pump the blood, which contains the breath of life. The moment that organ is deprived, then you have only a few minutes. Only a few minutes. But the secondary reason for the heart is to keep your immune system going. That's where all your protection comes from. It's not just the breath of life, but it is to protect you. When you get a cut, it starts to bleed, but then the body starts to send, that heart pumps all the stuff there to start it clotting immediately and to stop it bleeding out. You see, you need to have a good heart. You need to make sure that spiritually your heart is in a good shape. Because just like the natural, you can have spiritual heart disease. That's why Proverbs said you need to guard your heart. You need to have some spiritual rib cage around your heart. Because once you let some stuff in, it's very hard to get it out. It's very hard to get it out. Some people keep some heart issues for years. They have some things against other people and they keep it for years. They've got some heart disease. They've got some heart trouble. You know, they'll tell you, well, you got to be careful what you eat. Spiritually, you got to be careful what you eat. A lot of people are eating from, I've said this before, but they're eating from the internet. They're eating from all kinds of stuff now because everybody's putting out their food. Now, would you just go out in the street and just start picking up food from off some tables? What's this? This looks good. Let me taste some of that. No, you'd be wise enough to say, I don't know this person. I know nothing about, I don't even know if they wash their hands. And yet people are spiritually taking words from the internet. They have no idea what that person is. You got to guard your heart. Because from it, the issues of life flow. Let me say it again. I'm just speaking the word today. I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm saying the Bible says if you have a problem, it probably is in your heart. It's things you're thinking about that are troubling you. There are things that you have let in there that are just taking you down. There are things that you have let in because you have not guarded it. Proverbs 4:20 says, attend, my son, attend to my words. Proverbs 4:20, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You see, if you fill your heart up with the good stuff, there won't be room for the bad stuff. If you've just had some really, really good news, I've told you about that. There's been a few days in my life I received such wonderful news. There would have been nothing you could have said to me to make me, you know, not still smile at you. You could have cussed me out, not to go, hallelujah, praise the Lord, have a good day. You know, there's been some days in my life when the news I got was just so overwhelming, I filled up my heart with joy. You could have cussed me out and called my mama names. I would have just smiled at you and said, have a good day, be blessed. See, the Bible says if you fill up your heart with his words, keep them in the midst of thine heart. I put a little meme on Facebook this week. It said, if you see someone without a smile, lend them one of yours. Right? If you are full of joy, I mean truly full of joy, you know, if you just got a $1 million in the mail yesterday, are you going to be upset? Someone cuts you off of traffic, bye, I'm going to Hawaii. You can have 94, I'm going somewhere warm. You see, we have to guard our heart. We can't let Satan take control. We can't let the things get in there and mess up our day, mess up our month, mess up our life. You know what it does? It takes away our joy. The Bible says, with joy shall he draw water from the wells of salvation. When you're so down, when you're so depressed, you come to church and you have to struggle to get up and pray and press through, to clap your hands. What time is it now? Let me get on the internet. That pastor's taking too long. My son, attend to my words. God is saying, listen up. You want to stop heart trouble? Fill it up with my words. Eat some good stuff. Don't pick up food that you don't even know of. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life. This is what the scripture says. Verse 22, Proverbs 4, 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health. Health. God's words are health to your mind, to your heart, to your spiritual soul. When you are so full up of God's word, when you are so in faith, there's almost nothing Satan can do. He can come and do all kinds of bad things and you're still smiling sweetly. You know what that does? That makes him mad. The best revenge is when you can smile at someone and say, have a nice day. You got to guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? You know, some people have gone and let their guard down and they got some heart disease. I want to talk about someone in the Bible that got some heart disease. The other way you can get heart disease is if you don't exercise. Now, I'm living on past glories. I was very fortunate. In my 40s, I started exercising. And I really went to the other extreme. I did too much exercising, but I think it's what's keeping me going now. I'm still living off of that past exercise. I got so that I would run 4.5 miles in the morning, 4.5 miles in the evening, and play racquetball. Of course, I wasn't a pastor, so I could do that. Can't do that now. But you know, we don't exercise spiritually. How do we strengthen that spiritual heart? Now, I want to show you how you get heart disease. In 2 Samuel 11, verse 1, we see someone who was the epitome of someone who had a good heart. In fact, what did God say about David? He was a man after my own heart. But it just shows you, if I had kept up the exercise, I would be much better shape than I am now. There came a time in David's life when he stopped exercising. Follow this scripture, 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired. And here is the phrase that you need to really hone in on. It says, at the time when kings go forth to battle. At the time when the kings, it was in the springtime, when the kings would go forth to battle, David said, you know what? I've done enough exercise. I'm going to stay home this time. I'm not going to go out with the army. I'm going to stay home. I don't need to exercise. After all, I'm blessed by God. Look at how blessed I am. Look at how good things are. That's when you have to be careful. Just after you get a blessing and you think everything's going well, that's when you need to not quit. That's when you need to get back on the treadmill. That's when you need to take up the spiritual bicycle. Here David decided he wasn't going to exercise. You see what the scripture says? It lets us know he was supposed to go to war. It says, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David decided, I'm going to send somebody else. The thing about exercise is you cannot send somebody else. It does no good for you. I'm going to have someone else run on the treadmill for me. Wouldn't that be great if you could do that? You could pay people to just exercise for you. David said, you know what? I'm going to take my ease this year. I know it's time for the kings to go to war, but I'm going to sit this one out. And this was his beginning of his heart trouble. And his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children. And he was having success. The army was doing good without him. But David stayed home. Instead of leading Israel, he decided, I'm not going to exercise. And he started to get some heart trouble. Verse 2 of 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed. In the evening, in the afternoon, he got up out of his bed. Do you see what's happening here? Sleeping through till the afternoon. He wasn't doing any more exercising. He got up off his bed, and now his heart trouble starts to start. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. See, if he had gone out with the army at the time when he was supposed to, if he was doing something spiritual for the Lord, if he was doing what he had been anointed to do, why did God anoint to lead Israel? Why did God call you to sit down at home? To say, it's the time to witness, but you know what? Somebody else can do it. Someone's better than me. Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? He made no exceptions. He said to his disciples, if you are his disciple, it's the time that kings go to war. It's the time for us to spiritually take up our spear, take up our sword, take up our shield, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having our loins girded with truth, putting on the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's time for us to go to war. But you know what most of us are doing? Yeah. David got up in the afternoon out of his bed. See what he was doing? He decided, I've had enough exercise. I fought my Goliath. I've had my enough victories. I don't need any more. I tell you what, I want some more Goliath victories. I want some more deliverances. I want to see some more miracles. I want God to do more. I want to be greedy about this thing. But instead he said, I don't need any more spiritual exercise. And you see what happens? He has heart trouble. He goes up on his roof and his heart starts to beat. Sees someone and he just gives into his heart. You know what? I'm the king. I should have anyone I want. And you know the story. How from that he gets into such a terrible situation. See, it starts small. Just skipping some exercise. That's all that happened. Just a little skip. I'll skip this service. I can watch it at home. Yeah, you can, but you know, when it's open, you should be here. That's what Scripture says, not forsaking the assembling together ourselves, as the manner of some is. I know that when we start full service, we're going to have a problem. Some people are not going to go to war, want to go to the war at the time that the kings go to war. They're going to sit in their bed, and you know what? I'm sorry, but they're going to get heart problems. It's going to get quiet on me, but I'm telling you the truth. Even David, a man after God's own heart, got some heart problems. He wasn't doing what he had been called and anointed to do. Lead Israel. Instead, he said, you know what? I'm going to sit here. And at first, everything looked like it's going great. They were still winning battles. At first, you know, the devil will trick you. Everything's going good. You don't have to do that. Things are going okay. I'm still getting blessed at home. I'm still getting blessed at home. That's how he'll start to trick you. Because heart problems don't start 100% the first day. It's something that takes some time to build up. But I want to tell you something about David. The prophet was sent to him and brought God's x-ray machine. Held up the word to his heart. And started to tell him there was this man, this rich man. And he stole this poor man's, only had two sheep. And David got all indignant and self-righteous. Man, who is this? Let me punish him. Let me take him apart. Nathan said, thou art the man. See, we're so quick to be pointing fingers, but I'm telling you, this message is for me. This message is for me. I have to be careful. I don't do like David and say, you know what? I'm getting old. I don't need to go to war. That's what David did, and he had ended up with some heart problems. But you know what? The beginning of the surgery to fix it is written in Psalms 51. David repented. Psalms 51 is actually describing some heart repair surgery. Because sometimes it's so bad that God has to open up our heart to get to the issue. Sometimes it can't be treated with just some medicine. Sometimes he has to actually cut you open. In fact, the Bible says a broken and a contrite spirit. So when you look at Psalms 51, I just picture it as God doing some surgery on David's heart. Let's go to Psalms 51 verse 2. You know, when they're beginning surgery, the first thing they do is they clean the area. Before they cut it open, they wash the area. David says, wash me thoroughly. He realized that he had not only committed adultery, but he had had someone killed. So he says, before you even start the heart, and this is the key to getting your heart issue fixed, is repentance. He said, wash me thoroughly. Dr. Jesus started to wash that chest area. They take some antibiotics and they do a scrub on the air before they even start cutting. What you're watching here in Psalms 51 is some heart surgery. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. If you miss that step, you're going to have issues later on. You know what happens? It reinfects. If you don't truly repent, and I don't mean cry, I mean repent. It only seems to go away for a little bit, then it comes back. You still end up with heart trouble. David understood this. He said the first thing, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Then it proceeds to the surgery. Verse 6. You can imagine the surgeon, then he takes the scalpel and he starts cutting the chest area. He says, behold, thou desirest truth. Where? In the inward parts. If you repent, you have to really do good confession. It's no point coming down here every Sunday and crying. That's not repentance. David understood if he wanted to be free of this heart trouble, he had to have inner truth. He had to really be straight with God. See, I can't see your heart, but God does. It's easy to fool me. Can't fool God. David knew this. He said, behold, thou desireth truth. Where? In the inward part. The surgeon, he takes the scalpel and he makes that first cut, and then they put what they call retractors. They start opening it up. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Today, you better let Dr. Jesus start to operate on your heart issue. You better ask him to wash me. You better tell him, I know you desire truth, not whatever I'm just saying when I come to the altar. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Now, I told you that the next step, they got to remove the rib cage. You know what they got to do? They got to break some bones. Make me to hear joy and gladness. The bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. To get to the heart, sometimes they have to cut the rib cage. They have to break some bones. Sometimes in God repairing our life, it's painful. There's some breakage. But if you will let the hand of the surgeon work in your life, he can fix it. Many times, as I say, they have to cut the ribs to get to the heart, to open it up. Because that's what's there to protect the heart. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins. And here's the next part. Blot out all thy iniquities. That when they do that, now there's all kinds of bleeding. And they have to start putting in things to blot up the blood. You see what I'm telling you about this verse? It's depicting some heart surgery. They start to put in, he'll say, nurse, swab inside. And they have to start to soak up all of the blood so he can see the heart. Blot out all my iniquities. We need today to understand that we all have some varying degrees of heart trouble. Some of us, maybe just some medicine will cure it. Some of us, they just need to go in and put a stent, but some of us need a whole heart transplant. Wow. See, the whole heart transplant is in verse 10. David knew that what he had done was so wicked, so terrible. He said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. See, only God can do that kind of operation. Even now, it's been, I think, more than 50 years since they did the first heart transplant. And yet, they have not been able to make a mechanical heart. Only God can do that. Only God can do a transformation of someone who is a murderer. And he does it all the time. I talked about Manasseh. I talked about Saul who killed Stephen. But you have to let God into your life to perform some heart surgery. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Sometimes we don't even know how bad an attitude we have. You know, good morning. What's good about it? We walk around with a grump on our face. Because we have some heart issues. God is the only one. When David said, create in me a clean heart, he knew he needed more than a stent. He needed more than some sewing of some valves. He needed a new heart. He had done some terrible, terrible things. But yet God's mercy, God's grace, the master surgeon can perform a transformation. Some of us, maybe all we need is some blockage cleaning, you know? That's all we need. But some of us, we need to do verse 10. We need a new one. This old one has gone too wicked and is deceitful and is terrible. It carries with it some wounds. It's too scarred up now. It's not pumping like it used to. David knew that what he had done was truly evil because he had skipped just some exercise. He hadn't gone when it was the time of war. And so he knew he needed a whole transplant. He goes on in Psalms 19:14. He says, let the words of my mouth. You know, because what's in the heart is what comes out in your mouth eventually. What's inside will come out. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation. What are you thinking about? What are you meditating about? Is it to get them back? Is it vengeance? Is it lust? I could go down a whole list. A lot of stuff causes heart disease. But if you want to have a reformed heart, you got to have some meditation on some good things. Scripture says, whatever, if there be any virtue, if there be any truth, think on those things. Is there something that you can think on right now to thank God for? Is there something good that God has done for you that you could praise Him for? You know, they say that if you keep on thinking negative things, it brings all kinds of bad chemicals. You will bring on your own death. You know, you get so worked up, so mad at some people that you're actually killing yourself. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Is our meditation acceptable? See, this is where we need God to wash us, because sometimes our meditation is not acceptable. Sometimes we have some heart issues. Sometimes we're carrying around some heart trouble. Every now and then, this will bump. Just to remind me, I'm around by God's grace. You know, Bill Cosby made that joke about his children. I brought them into this world and I can take them out. Well, truly, God is the one who brought you into this world and He's the one who can take you out. You have to let Him be your surgeon. As I said, all of us probably have some little heart issues. But we can fix them. David gave the surgery right in Psalms 51. In Psalms 19, he gave the afterwards treatment. You know, after you come out of surgery, then you have to do some continuing stuff. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Psalms 19:14, be acceptable. If you go back after he's done the heart surgery, you know what will happen? You'll be back in the same spot. You have to have a lifestyle change. You got to really stop eating those fatty foods or whatever it is you've been doing, or too much salt. Spiritually. But if you go back to the same thing, guess what? Even if they give you a new heart, you're going to kill that one too. David said, for the after treatment, after you come out now, let the words of my mouth. If we were to think back this week, has everything we said been pleasant and joyful and a blessing? Let the words of my mouth, the meditation, what my heart's been thinking about, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Here's what Jesus ended up saying in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Because they shall see God. If you don't let God work on your heart trouble, I'm sorry, the word says you're not going to see him. Now that's not something we can fix ourselves. Jeremiah already told us our heart is deceitful. In Genesis 8, God just looked and he just shook his head. I can imagine him shaking his head and said, for in his heart, his evil continually, his thoughts are evil continually from his youth. But I tell you what, we have a heart surgeon. We have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ, who is willing and able. If you will just reach out today and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Don't let heart trouble kill you. If you could stand with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, no heart trouble. No, no heart trouble. That's not something we want. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. I know I always preach the next half while you're standing. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, say today. Today. Not tomorrow, not yes, today. If you will hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your hearts. You know what Israel did to God? You know, we look at the Old Testament, we think God was testing them. This was a shock to me when this verse hit me some many, many years ago, and it said, no, it was them testing God. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Who was getting provoked? God was getting provoked. You know why? He had done miracle after miracle, deliverance after deliverance for these people, and they still wouldn't do right. He had done the 10 miracles in Egypt. He had made the Nile turn into blood. He had made flies. And finally, he killed the firstborn. Then, he parted the Red Sea. Then, he kept them alive in a desert. Then, he made food fall from the sky. Then he made water come from a rock. Can you imagine how mad God was? Because look at the miracle after miracle. Can you imagine how God must feel about us just because we are not thankful and see the times he has saved us and delivered us? Because spiritually what hardens your heart is unbelief. Harden not your heart as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, God said, you know what? It was you guys who tempted me. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Longest miracle ever was for 40 years every day, food fell from the sky. 40 years, and still, these people did not believe. Did not believe. Did not believe. That's what hardened their heart. But exhort one another. Let's go to Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, and it cause unbelief an evil heart in departing from the living God. But exhort one another. That's what I'm doing today. Daily. Call someone tomorrow and say, listen, be of good cheer. God loves you. Cheer someone up tomorrow. Give them a good word. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The scripture says it's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not he that runs the race halfway. Or three quarters of the way. You got to stay in this thing till the end. For we have been made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Again, verse 15, while it is said today, see, this is repeated. If he will hear his voice. Now, right now you're hearing my voice, but I'm telling you, the word I'm speaking is from God. If you will hear his voice, don't let your heart be hardened. As when those people did it to me in the wilderness. How many times do I have to deliver your life? How many times do I have to speak to you before you will listen? Very last scripture I'm reading, and we're closing this service. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. So after all of that, after God has put the x-ray of his word to us, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, not doubting, having our hearts washed, cleaned. You know, before they close it up, they take some water and they irrigate that area. You ever seen them do that? And they pour, then they wash away all the blood and they're sucking it up the other side and they irrigate the heart cavity before they... It says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We don't want no heart trouble. 600,000 people, they say, every year, not just, you know, 500,000 because of, but every year in this country, they say 600,000 people die of heart trouble. We don't need to die of spiritual heart trouble because we have a doctor, we have a lawyer, we have an advocate with God, which is Christ. And he is able and willing to deliver us. The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost. I don't know how far the uttermost is, but they haven't measured it yet. They can't measure the uttermost. But he's able to save to the uttermost. If he can give David a new heart, he can give you a new heart. He can give me a new heart. He can change our thinking. He can deliver us. And then after that, you take the medicine in Psalms 19. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. We're going to pray. We're going to close this service. But we want to tell the devil, no heart trouble. I want you to wag your finger at him right now. Tell the devil, no heart trouble. No heart trouble. No heart trouble. Because I'm going to see the King. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No heart trouble. I don't know what that doctor said 40 years ago, but I have no heart trouble. I shall live and not die. I'm not going home till the Lord says it's time. No heart surgeon here is going to tell me when I'm going. He told me I need a pacemaker. I need all this kind of stuff. No, I have a doctor who decides my treatment. And he's already recommended what I need. I'm living out my full days. He's not telling me when I'm going. Because your life is hid in Christ. Isn't that what the word says? Your life is hid in Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. And we're going to pray. And I want you to make sure this week, just try it. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be found acceptable. Be found acceptable. Then you can wag your finger truly and say, no heart trouble. No heart trouble. When you get up tomorrow morning, just do this. No heart trouble. I'm victorious today, Satan. I'm not letting you into my heart. I'm not letting any sad words into my heart. I'm not letting any people upset me because I'm going to be full of the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to close. I really am. Amen. If you want prayer, you can come on down. But remember what David said, wash me thoroughly, purge me with hyssop. That's the antibiotics, by the way. I didn't even go into that scripture. See, that scripture is really about heart surgery. When you read that, you'll see that now. That's describing some heart surgery. And we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God. If you only need a stent, that's all you get. But if you need a heart replacement, he's got that too. There's no waiting. You don't have to wait on a list. He's got them lined up. I said that was the last scripture. I'll quote one more. John said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So let not your heart be troubled. No heart trouble. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts and your heads with me right now. Father, we come to you in faith, believing. We stand upon your word, Lord God, that you said, let not our hearts be troubled. Lord, we're asking you today, Lord, whatever the heart issue is, Lord, we give it to you. Lord, that you will cover it with your blood, that you will operate on us, that you will let there be a joy, hallelujah, and an overcoming in our hearts. Lord, we just give our lives to you right now, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, hallelujah, for all that you're going to do. Church, if you could pray with me as I pray for those at the altar right now, if you could lift up your voice in prayer and tell that Satan that there's going to be no heart trouble.